return to the 15th chapter of 1 Samuel. And I believe I'll read this whole story here, beginning with verse 10. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. Samuel came to Saul. Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord said, or the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he also hath rejected thee from being king. Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee. from being king over Israel. Now, I believe that we could say, I don't know just how many sheep and oxen they brought back here on this occasion, but we could probably say that they had 95% obeyed what the Lord told them to do. But Samuel just classed it as no obedience at all. The part in which they had disobeyed overturned all the other. I believe we have a scripture over in James. It says if we keep the whole law and offend in one point, we're guilty of all. We're still just a lawbreaker. And a person doesn't have to break all the laws on the books to get into trouble. A murderer doesn't have to do robbery and adultery and rape and a bunch of other things to get into trouble. He's a murderer. And he's just in deep trouble. He's a lawbreaker. So Saul did not get any credit for all the 95%, we'll say, of his obedience, because it wasn't complete obedience. He hadn't carried it out just like God told him to carry it out. Now I was struck here with what was said in verse 12. It was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about and passed on. Now, what does that mean? He set him up a place. He set up a place to do sacrifice unto God. And he offered sacrifice. That wasn't his business to do that. But he felt like that needed to be done, so he did that. And he just went about and set him up a place, made his sacrifice, and he's gone on now. God didn't recognize that either. The sacrifice he made did not disannul his disobedience. Folks, I say like I said this morning, that when God tells you and me to do something, he wants that done, and he wants it done just like he said to do it. Just carry it out just like he said to do it, and there is no substitute for obedience. And now he said here, Saul was arguing the matter, we brought a sacrifice back here for God. I'm reminded when I read this of a brother, and he was a good brother too. Fine young man. Loved the Lord. But in his upbringing, he had received strong teaching against doing anything on Sunday. And he believed in that. Well, he had a tractor, and there was a job going up at Wichita, Kansas. This is when I was living in Anthony, Kansas, 45 years ago probably. And he could put his tractor on there and him run it. and draw good money for himself and his tractor. But he had to work on Sunday. So he reasoned that out, struck a bargain with God, so to speak, and he said, I'll go ahead and take that job, and all I'll earn on Sunday, that'll be extra time too, I'll give it to the work of God. But you know that boy didn't prosper? That boy got into trouble over that. God wants sacrifice, but he doesn't want that kind of sacrifice. He doesn't want sacrifice that involves a perjuring of someone's conscience to be able to make that sacrifice. And God didn't bless that boy in that, because it was contrary to his teaching, and he didn't believe in doing anything on Sunday, and it crossed his conscience to do it, and he had to do a little finagling and reasoning around to justify himself in doing it, and that's the way he did it. I'll just sacrifice that to God, all that I make on Sunday. That's what these folks were going to do. We brought back these sheep and these oxen to sacrifice to God, but God doesn't want any sacrifice that involves any disobedience to him to get it.
Amen.
He doesn't want that kind of sacrifice. He won't accept that kind of sacrifice, and he won't bless people in giving that kind of a sacrifice. And what Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Well, the evidence is here that he doesn't. He just has his delight in our humble obedience to his word. Doing the best we can with what we have to do it with. What I mean by that is, as far as we know and understand what God's will is, do that and do it just like he makes us know that he wants it done. He goes ahead and says to obey is better than sacrifice. Now, that doesn't say that sacrifice isn't good, but to obey is better.
Amen.
He wants obedience and to hearken than the fat of rams. And then he pronounces a pretty strong indictment against rebellion and sin. He says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. You remember God pronounced his judgment on witchcraft and forbid the children of Israel to allow a witch to live in their borders. Death to all the witches. God pronounced his judgment on that, and folks, it's still there today.
Amen.
A lot of people dabbling in witchcraft today, but God's judgment's still there. And it's only through the patience and long-suffering and forbearance of God in Christ that every witch in the whole world isn't destroyed right now. God hasn't changed his attitude. His mind isn't any different. But for Christ's sake, and for his long-suffering and forbearance and patience in Christ, through Christ, he isn't destroying all those people that do those things that death was pronounced on for doing back under the law before mercy came. In the 21st chapter of Proverbs, verse 3, it says to do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. For us to do justice and judgment, for us to exercise ourselves in mercy and loving kindness and judgment, is more acceptable to God than any sacrifice we could make. In the 69th Psalm, the 30th verse, he said, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock. For us to praise God and magnify him with thanksgiving is more pleasing to him than any material sacrifice that we can make.
Amen.
And he said again in the 50th Psalm, in verses 13 and 14, God says, will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. God wants you and me remembering those promises that we've made to him. Those covenants that we entered into with him when we wanted him to answer prayer and we wanted that real bad. When we were in real trouble, deep trouble, seeking God for deliverance. Maybe we made vows, promises to him. Now he says, pay up. Pay your vows unto God and offer unto him thanksgiving. Jesus said, in the 23rd chapter of Matthew and verse 23, if thou hadst known what this means, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. God delights in mercy. And in the first chapter of Hosea, let me get this straight now. I believe it's the sixth chapter, maybe the sixth verse. He says, for God desired mercy and not sacrifice. Now, what does this mean? The Bible teaches a great deal about sacrifice. God requires sacrifice. And God is pleased with sacrifice when it's the right kind of sacrifice. Or when the heart of the one giving the sacrifice is right with God. He delights in that. Paul called it an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing unto God.
Amen.
Now, God requires sacrifice. But all these scriptures we've been dealing with teaches us that obedience is the first thing. And though he requires sacrifice and will bless sacrifice that is the right kind of a sacrifice and given in the right way, these scriptures all show to us that's secondary with him. Obedience is the principal thing.
Amen.
Let me tell you why people are slow about obeying God? Why people are slack on that line? It's simply because they do not reverence God as God. And they do not recognize and respect Him for what He is. If people respected God as God, we'd be jumping around and seeking to be quick to obey Him, to do His will. Now, what God is telling us here is that He wants our lives balanced up. Sacrifice is a part of serving God and worshiping God. And He requires that, and He promises blessings for that. And we see all down through the line the verification of that and the blessings that He has given on that. But He doesn't want us going long on sacrifice and short on obedience. He wants our lives balanced up, to be obedient, to walk humbly before Him, and then make our sacrifices unto Him. The 8th verse of the 6th chapter of Micah, he says, He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And there was 3 things involved in this: to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Amen. Those are the good things between us and God. Those are the things that God delights in. For us to do justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. Now let's pass on a little. Move ahead some. In the 11th chapter of Proverbs, in verse 1, he said, "A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight." We're still moving ahead on the subject matter of pleasing God. And will God be pleased with what I'm doing, the way I'm living, my attitudes, my feelings, my thoughts, my dispositions toward my fellows, the way I treat them, the way I talk about them, the way I talk to them? Will God be pleased? That's the paramount question. Now, he says He has delight in a just weight. But a false balance is an abomination. Folks, God wants us to be real sincere about what we're doing, and that pleases Him. When we're really sincere about what we're doing and about doing right and pleasing God, that really pleases Him, and He takes delight in that. In Proverbs, the 12th chapter and the 22nd verse, he says, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight." Honesty. Strict honesty. Folks, God is calling upon you and me for strict honesty. Honesty in our dealings one with another, and honesty in our hearts toward Him and our dealings with Him. Strict honesty. Uprightness. In the 15th Psalm, there's a question asked there. That's a very brief psalm, but the question is asked, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle, and who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He said, he that walketh uprightly, that's the first thing. Uprightness is defined as moral rectitude, rightness, being right in all of our dealings. Folks, God wants you and me to be dependable folks. And when we say anything, that's it. Just be dependable. If you make an appointment, folks can count on you. I remember about a brother way back down the line. He established a reputation like this. And someone was coming in on the train, and he told them that he would meet them there and pick them up and take them out to his place. Well, the train got in, and I don't know if the brother hadn't gotten there yet or if he had just stepped away up the street a little bit. The train come in while he was gone, but he wasn't in there anyway. And this man that was coming in on the train, he got off and he looked around on the platform and he didn't see anything of this brother, and he walked in the station and looked around and he wasn't in there. And the station agent asked him, said, "You looking for something or someone?" And he said, "There was a man supposed to meet me here and I don't see him." The station agent says, "Who was the man that was to meet you here?" And he told him. The station agent knew the man. Well, he says, "You just rest easy," said, "just sit down over there," said, "if that man told you he'd be here, he'll be here." And right away in he came. God would have you and me to be dependable people. Amen. Now he said, "He that walketh uprightly and speaketh the truth in his heart." That's the second thing. And on down in verse 5, he said, "He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not." Well, things have kind of changed up here, and it's going to work a hardship on me and be pretty difficult for me to fulfill this promise that I made. So I'll just hope that people will understand and I'll not go ahead with it. Folks, he said, "He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not." God wants you and me responsible people. Amen. And what he's calling on you and me for is strict honesty. In the 12th chapter of Romans and verse 17, he said, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men." We are to represent ourselves and confirm ourselves in the sight of everybody that we deal with as an honest person, an upright person. Now, I was raised by a man like this. My father was a man that was strictly honest, and he was right up on all of his pledges and obligations and promises and appointments and everything. He wasn't reckless about any of that. Somebody said if my father owed a man a nickel, he'd walk 5 miles to pay him and get him paid. And if my father had an obligation coming due, a note that he had signed, pledged to pay a certain sum of money at a certain time, nobody had to come after him to see about that. He'd be there. And if he saw he wasn't going to be able to meet that responsibility right on time, he'd go a few days ahead of time and tell the banker or whoever he was dealing with, now things are just shaping up here. It looks like I'm not going to be able to meet that obligation right on time without doing some other things, which I can do if you require it. But he said, if I can work out satisfactory arrangements with you now, why, it looks like I'm just not going to be able to meet that right at the appointed time. But he'd be there a few days ahead of time and tell him that, and he never did have any problem with anybody. He always come through all right. Amen. Strict honesty, uprightness. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. It's going to hurt him now. Things have changed around some. It's going to hurt him to do what he promised to do, and he didn't see this hurt when he made that promise. But a promise is a promise, folks. A pledge is a pledge. And God's pleased with strict honesty out of you and me. Honesty among our fellow men, and honesty toward God. Dealing honestly with God, not making any excuses before Him or trying to cover up anything. Just open and honest and sincere in all of our dealings with God. I'm talking about, will the Lord be pleased? What'll please the Lord? This that I'm saying to you now will please the Lord. And our being real earnest and sincere about what we're doing. Now he said in Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For you and me to turn our lives over to God, that's pleasing to Him. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And for us to have an attitude in our hearts when we've done this, this is just what was our duty to do. This is just a reasonable service. That we present our bodies a living sacrifice to Him. That's pleasing to God. The Lord's pleased with that. When He can get our lives in His hands and us feel in our hearts, that's just a reasonable service for us to do this. And we delight in that kind of a sacrifice to God. He's pleased with that. Be not conformed to this world. God's pleased when you and I draw a line between us and this world. I remember making the statement in the message this morning. I'll make it again now. Let us never try to compare ourselves with the people of this world. There's no common grounds of comparison.
Amen.
And let us never try to compare ourselves with the Christian world, denominationalism, sectism out there. There's no common grounds of comparison there either. And for anyone to feel like that everybody's doing it, so it's all right for me to do it, it isn't. If everybody but you does it, and you have light and knowledge on God's word that He doesn't want you to do that, it's not all right for you to do that. Now he said, be not conformed to this world. Another translation says, don't let the world pour you in its mold. Don't try to fashion after the world and be made like unto them. God's pleased when you and I are willing to just take our stand and stand separate and aloof from all of the evil things of this world and not participate in any of them. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. And I can say in passing this point, we can preach nonconformity all we want to. And every time I take this pulpit, I can preach a message on nonconformity and not conforming to the world. But people are still going to conform to the world till they get transformed. Get their minds renewed. Something's got to take place in people's hearts to separate them from this world and from the love and attachment and affections of this world and the people of this world. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And in the fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians, in the third verse, he says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. God's pleased with that. When we present our bodies a living sacrifice to Him, that He can accept that sacrifice and fill us with His Holy Spirit and sanctify us and purge our hearts from all of the native depravity and the evil and make our hearts holy and pure in His sight. He's pleased with that.
Amen.
He loves that. And in 1 Timothy, the second chapter, in the third verse, after he has told us to pray for all men and for kings and for those in authority that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life, he says, for this is acceptable and well-pleasing unto God. For us to lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness, that's well-pleasing unto God. And for us to have a disposition to support with our prayers those who are carrying the burden and responsibility of government, for rulers, for kings, those that have our affairs in their hands, to pray for them, that they might be guided by the wisdom of God and by the fear of God and enact such laws and enforce such laws as would be for the general welfare and benefit of mankind and for us to have liberty and freedom in the service of God. Amen.